Today, we're talking to John Anoda. John is a former chief communications officer for organizations, including the Charles Schwab Foundation, Charles Schwab Corporation, Visa USA, General Motors, and Levi Strauss & Company. He currently works as a consultant for Gagan McDonald in Chicago. John received the Larry Foster Award for Integrity in Public Communication from the Arthur W. Page Center a couple of years ago, and I have included on the page a link to his remarks. I think they're fantastic, and I would encourage you to listen to them. And I'm so pleased to have you here today, John.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for making time to be with us. So I have a couple questions for you. This week, the students read about corporate social responsibility from an ethical perspective. And in your opinion, why is it important for companies to behave in a responsible manner in today's society?
Well, there are many reasons. You know, the first is we're in an era of pretty much complete transparency. And however you behave, ethical or non-ethical, is very observable in a world where everyone has a cell phone and can leak any information they want or share any information they want. So, you know, everyone's eyes are on you, possibly. Another key factor is workers' values. Workers or people everywhere, you know, they want to work for ethical organizations, organizations they can be proud of and feel an attachment to. This relates to the notion of employee value proposition, especially in a red hot market like we have today, where the competition for the best and the brightest is ferocious. The companies have got to offer more than money, especially to the younger people who seem to be, you know, more certain and assertive about their individual values. And so they have a choice, you know, with equal money or even more money between a company whose values align with theirs, and I assume this would include ethics, and one that doesn't. They're going to go with the one that acts ethically. Another factor on the sort of threat side is employee activism. And we're seeing many examples of it today with walkouts and strikes, leaks to the media, sharing information with bloggers, et cetera. If you don't act ethically in any sizable organization, the people who disagree with it have any number of ways of displaying their disagreement. And so you have to take that into account. And last is legal and regulatory threats. We're in a more activist environment overall, and regulators, politicians are more likely to call you on the carpet. Shareholder actions are more likely to be taken to get move the board of directors or put forward a resolution at an annual meeting. So there's just any number of reasons to act ethically. Now that said, it's really, really hard to address these issues, especially in the private sector. Because the first obligation of anyone in business is to repay the people who you borrowed money from to start up and operate your company. And that could be banks, that could be shareholders, but they have got to get their money back. And of course, they can either remove you or sue you or shut you down if you don't pay them back their money, which, and after all, they lent to you. So ethically, that's almost your first obligation. And it's more than just repaying them. They expect a certain rate of return. Just banks lend you a mortgage money, you have to repay them and you have to pay the interest rate amount that you've agreed to. So when you're in the private sector, when you're in a for-profit enterprise, that is your first ethical obligation, and you have to manage all your other expenses to fit that model. And even if you have a boom year where all of a sudden you have a hot product or something happens and you have a windfall profit, then all the people will say, wow, you have all this money, you have billions to go, why don't you give it all away or give everyone a raise? You can't create an unsustainable model. you have to manage, in a manner that you can be operational over the long term. So when you have these ethical discussions, a lot of times in the private sector, they come down to costs. It's not as if people don't want to give other people a raise or create a new facility or add new safety features and everything else like that. It just gets down to cost because they're in a business model. So I would caution people who think it's very simple to walk in and point out a bunch of ethical errors and then tell people to fix it, to think that it's as simple a matter as that, because in my experience, it's not.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Students were reading about the different motivations for corporate social responsibility and the different models of corporate social responsibility. And it's interesting to hear you talk from much experience in the corporate sector about, you know, the bottom line and making sure that you're responsible to many different stakeholders in the process of being responsible broadly. So that leads me to another question. Do you think it's important then for companies to do good in society? Is it important for companies to do the social responsibility programs, the environmental programs, the, you know, social issue programs? You talked about, you know, workers and activists, but do you think there's a larger obligation or not?
I do. I've spent probably about a quarter of my career has been in the area of corporate social responsibility. And I was on the board of Business for Social Responsibility for 9 years. And I'm still working on it today. Mm-hmm. I think it is because in some ways, the most power and resources and experience and expertise is in the private sector. You know, governments can gather money and tax money and create regulations. But if you're sleeping in a bed, it was made by a corporation. If you're driving a car, it was made by a corporation. If someone's belching smoke into the air, it's a, for the most part, I guess, except in maybe a communist country, and even they're really capitalist nowadays. Mm-hmm. So if we want to repair the planet and make real advances, it's going to be the private sector that's going to create the drugs or figure out how we can now have water or stop global warming and everything else. The expertise and the resources, for better or for worse, are in the private sector. And I think we rightly can say a lot of the problems that exist today on the macro level around pollution in the environment and unequal societies are also a result of the private sector. So unless we want to continue down a reckless path where we pretty much trash our world and make it uninhabitable and make it also increasingly unjust, the private sector has got to have a model where it brings its tremendous resources, tremendous expertise and everything to bear to fix the problems.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah. That's good insight. So another question for you. Now, you've led the communication practice for many of the top brands in the country. What do you think happens to companies that don't behave in a responsible manner? And what are the implications for their future communications and their business?
Well, I'd love to tell you that bad things immediately happen and hands are slapped and things are remedied very quickly. That's not the case. It's really all over the board, especially when you step back and you take a global perspective. So if you look at the history of Western intervention in the developing world, in Africa and parts of Asia, parts of Latin America, some great things have been done to raise societies and raise economies, and some horrible things have been done. And, you know, some countries have borne some bad consequences, haven't. And similarly, the private sector has been in there, you know, fighting an opium war in China to force the Chinese to take opium, or the United States sending, you know, military into Latin America for our banana growers, things like that. Mm-hmm. The consequences of these sort of activities tend to happen more in the home base country than they do in the place where the action is happening. So I can understand why, you know, people in India might feel very critically about the chemical industry in the United States because of Bhopal, where thousands of people died or were injured because of a chemical leak. From their perspective, I doubt if there's been sufficient action in the United States to remedy their grievances. And also you have to look at cultures, because we can only take an American point of view. And if you're only talking about American company, I think we are held to a higher standard because we are a developed country and we have free media and everything else that can do that. But right now there are Chinese corporations moving into Africa, and the way they treat their African employees, I don't think an American company could get away with. But I think in China, you can, because they're operating with a different set of values, societal values. So one danger your students especially have got to avoid, because their careers are going to be for many years to come, is to only apply an American set of values and perspectives to global problems.
Right. So are there long-term consequences then for companies that misbehave?
Sometimes there are, and sometimes there aren't. I mean, if we go back and look at history, American companies, but companies from all over the world, have been involved in world wars, have pure death camps. We provided, our American companies provided napalm and chemical warfare to the military in the Vietnam War that consequently injured our own military. Our own soldiers were injured by that. Now, if those companies have paid a steep price because of that.
Yeah, for sure. And even I think today we see consequences, sometimes immediate, sometimes not, for mishandling and for irresponsibility. But yeah, like you said, we don't always see it immediately. We don't always.
Well, and the fact is, when we say see in air quotes, you know what comes to the media attention and today social media attention. But I was in charge of media relations and crisis management for major corporations, and my job, not because of ethical concerns but just because of reputational concerns, was to keep things out of the news. And so for every story or mishap or situation you read about or hear about today, because of diligent workers on the corporate side, there's 20 more that no one cares about.
Yeah, absolutely. But just because there isn't media attention doesn't mean there's not a consequence, right? No, internal consequence. We don't always see the financial impact and other things. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't.
Sometimes we do, and you get caught if you're Theranos or Enron, you get caught. But sometimes these things can go on for decades, and sometimes they fold companies before they get caught. I mean, we're seeing this play out, especially I think in pharma nowadays. And look at the data breaches that have happened. Where now all of our private information, our social security numbers and everything else, with all these innumerable hacks that have gone on, and probably everyone listening to this conversation, their data is out there because of all these hacks. So these companies took our data, they had an ethical and probably regulatory obligation to protect it, and they failed. Now, does anyone think there's been enough consequences because they failed and our information is now out there for the hackers to get?
No, not enough. I have to keep changing my credit card like every couple of months because somebody's using it somewhere in the world to buy something. So
yeah, no, it's incredibly,
it's not worth it.
Yeah. Irritating. But you know, that's the world we live in, and the world finds a way to go forward. So probably the surest, the best way to guarantee behavior is the employees themselves, because the company may be able to hide this from regulators or the media or whatever, but there is always some group of employees who know. Mm-hmm. And if they hold the company to a high ethical standard, that's probably the best mechanism for us to ensure ethical behavior.
Yeah, the students are going to read a book this semester on raising ethical issues to management and the challenges of that and the consequences of that. So I'm glad you brought that up, that that's one way to keep companies accountable is when internal employees raise questions and point out ethical concerns. So my last question then is, what advice do you have for new professionals who are starting to think more about their ethical responsibilities, their work in the workplace, and also their company's ethical responsibilities?
Well, you know, first is to, you know, really become a student of ethics. It's not simply walking around and saying, oh, I don't like that, and that doesn't pass the sniff test. I mean, you have to have these conversations to get a large institution to address it and find a solution. Is very difficult. And it can't be just, this is my opinion, or everyone in my social media group thinks this is wrong. You have to have a rational argument. I was fortunate enough to have a lot of ethical training and actually lead ethical courses at Levi's. And what it came down to was, it's almost always a matter of competing values. It's not the lack of values on one thing. So one of the values is promise keeping, and that includes paying back the money to your shareholders and lending institutions. There might be fairness. So you get caught up in these competing values as opposed to just a value being existent and the other side not having any values at all. My experience is mostly people are trying to do the right thing. I'm fortunate that way. So then you have a discussion of, there's no bad guy in here. We're all trying to do the right thing. We need a model to try to move the needle. And that takes very sophisticated understanding of ethical behavior. Another suggestion I'd have is that if students plan to have a long career, that they live abroad. Ideally in a place where culture and values very different from what we have in the United States, because increasingly it's a matter of global business or virtual business that really doesn't have a physical anchor. And they're going to be employed in an era when the United States is not even the largest economy in the United States. So a lot of America's approach to regulation, approach to fairness, the way we measure things, I believe, is a consequence of us being the largest economy, the most powerful nation in the world. Well, what does it look like when China is the largest economy, and certainly in the Asian sphere, the largest power in the world? And their culture is 4,000 years old, and our culture is 200 years old. Mm-hmm. And so a set of values that have been around a lot longer than we have. Now, you know, if you're especially in the Asian part of the world, but maybe Africa and others, whose value system are you going to buy into? And then when you get into discussion of what is ethical or what is fair, you could end up in very different places. And I'm not saying one's a bad guy or one's a good guy. We're just different systems and different cultures. And if you hope to navigate this, you really need a deep understanding of where they're coming from and sort of take a non-judgmental approach to their system and how they define ethical behavior. And the last thing I'd say, and it sounds like this book you mentioned is part of this, you know, I've always been in corporations where people find ethical concerns. And sometimes you find out about it when they're leaving or when there's an explosion or what have you. And a lot of times you're not sure if you really even have an ethical situation on your hands. The best thing to do is talk to people. You know, you start asking other, I see this, do you agree? Is this then, do you have any problem with this? And if you find other people are all having that feeling, then you start elevating it up to your sort of to your supervisor and up and up. But a lot of employees, they have this feeling that things are not right ethically, and they're disheartened by it, but they don't try to explore the question.
Yeah, that's really good. Those are great suggestions, and in many ways tie to some of the other things the students are talking about this this semester. They're looking at international and intercultural ethics and you know, the raising ethical issues and all of that. So this was great. A really good conversation. And you've helped to bring it kind of home to corporate social responsibility from the perspective of someone with many years in corporate communication. So thank you so much, John. Thanks for being here today. Thanks for sharing your wisdom with us.
My pleasure.
Great. All right. This is the end of our recording for this episode of Ethics in 18 Minutes.